Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, Sales Success Coach. Now, they call me the Queen of Predictable Sales Results, well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process, known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even including having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. And I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an x-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her heartfelt passion to help others improve their lives. So I am super excited to introduce Ellen Robinson. Now, Ellen established the Robinson Coaching Group in 2013 and is the co-founder of the Person Puzzle Company, which is launching right now. Now, she's an executive coach working with professionals in a range of industries and settings. She works with senior executives and emerging leaders, supporting them in leading and living in highly effective and satisfying ways. She also works with business partners and teams to improve team effectiveness, addressing change, leadership, and overall organizational effectiveness. Now, along with her coaching practice, Ellen continues to tap her entrepreneurial energy and is launching a coaching solution company called the Person Puzzle Company. Now, Person Puzzle is the world's first neuroscience-based solution to turn one of the world's favorite pastimes, the puzzle, into a vehicle of meaningful self-discovery for clients. Using the Person Puzzle method, coaches of all types and styles guide their clients into discovering pieces of themselves and capturing this insight on a customized 30-piece puzzle of themselves. Now, prior to starting her coaching practice, Ellen was the GM for Denver Pepsi-Cola and then president of Ascent Sports, which are the owners of the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche. During that role, she earned a Stanley Cup ring with the Avs in 1996. She culminated her pre-coaching career as an entrepreneur where she started a SaaS company in the large-scale event space. And throughout her career, Ellen has been instrumental in driving significant business results. Well, welcome, Ellen. I am so excited to have you as our guest today.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, and I just love how you're providing such important coaching, helping people become better leaders, both professionally and personally. I can't wait to hear more about this, as well as learn more about the new company that you're launching.
I can't wait to tell you all about it.
All right. Great. Well, top of mind question for me, first off, is so exactly what was the inspiration that prompted you to become this high-level and executive leadership coach?
Yes. Well, to tell you the truth, it was really a falling off point as opposed to an inspiration.
Oh, okay.
I loved my career at Pepsi and with the sports teams and all, but I was young, had a young family, and was working just super, super hard. I'm sure like many, many of your listeners. And I didn't have the capacity at the time to really understand the impact of all of my efforting on my body and on my relationships.
Mm-hmm, right.
I hit burnout. So burnout was the falling off point. I left. At the time, it was the last assignment, which was with Event Connects, and started a journey back, actually, to discover what is my zone of genius, what does get me out of bed and excited again, and what to do with that. And that led me to the idea of coaching, and of going to coaching school, which is really the tipping point around discovering the gifts that I had to help other emerging leaders and even senior leaders even not experience what I experienced with my burnout, bring more meaning and satisfaction into their life along with their profession. Yeah, so that was the way it all came about.
Right. Well, that life has a way of dealing a certain deck of cards to us. And I just love how you are able to really take that personal experience in a way beyond obviously bringing yourself to a new level of success, but also now being that solution to others so that they don't have to go through that kind of severe state of burnout or maybe even failure. So that's fantastic. So you've been coaching now for, I think we had 7 years, which is really impressive. Can you talk a little bit more about any of the evolutions that have occurred in your coaching path, as well as maybe share a little bit about this discovery of this puzzle-based coaching tool that you've developed?
Sure, I'd love to. And it has been a journey. It started 7 years ago with me being a beginner at something that I was building a business around. So it was a very odd experience. I had left the pre-coaching career really at the top of my game, outside of not managing how to keep my life all together, as I mentioned earlier. Outside of that, as a leader, I was really knew what I was doing, and I was well regarded for doing so. And here I'm starting later in my life, my mid-40s, on something brand new that I felt like I was a beginner at. So there was quite an evolution of moving from being a beginner to where I feel now to be, you know, quite accomplished and pleased with how I'm able to work with clients on all sorts of topics, which perhaps we'll talk about a little bit more about later. In addition, though, as I was understanding how people change and the role that coaching can play and the type of interventions one can have when you're in a coaching conversation with clients, I realized, and I actually started having this nagging kind of worry, that the insight and the beautiful work and growth we might and discovery that comes about with a skillful coach in a coaching conversation might kind of go away. Like, I think we've all had the experience of having aha moments. And within an hour, and certainly maybe sometimes even the next day, we kind of forget what the ideas were and remember that there was something good about that, but gosh, I didn't write it down.
Right. And
so I had that feeling about the coaching conversations I was having with clients. And I created for myself this metaphor and then this real idea about using a puzzle, a selfie puzzle of themselves. And I found a beautiful iteration of that, a 30-piece customized puzzle. And I started asking my clients, when they did have those aha moments, and I recognized those as a coach, to actually pause, pay more attention. And it's actually a coaching term, or the neuropsychological term is bring attention density to the aha moment, and get the insight into words that can be written on a piece of their puzzle.
Nice.
So that's so that method has was born in that way and has evolved now into the makings of a company so that other coaches around the world can use the same process to bring more retention to the great work that they're doing with their clients.
Oh, that's great. I just love that. That it really brings a visual support to the concepts that sometimes are, you know, slippery fish that, you know, oh, it's impactful. And then now what was that? And so you're providing this direct tool where they can write down what that aha moment was, what that moment of clarity, that download that brought in really the pieces to their puzzle to creating the success that they want. That's fantastic. I love that, Ellen.
At the end of an engagement, the coach can ask the client to put the puzzle together. And my clients, when they have done that after our work together, look down and see the person that they've become. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful experience.
No, that's fantastic. That is really, really great. I love that. Well, you know, you talked a little bit about you were at a high level of success in the corporate role that you had, and then starting with coaching, you're back almost to the, you know, the chutes and ladders analogy. You're back down to the bottom of the rung here, climbing up your now new pathway, which is being a coach. Were there any, you know, specific big roadblocks that you had to overcome along that way of gaining your expertise and really just standing solidly into this great expertise that you already have, but you're building a coaching practice? So were there any major roadblocks that you had to overcome along the way?
Of course. And many of them are what you talk about a bit in terms of just personally, the self-doubt and kind of the icky feeling that you can get or that I would get, wondering if I would be successful, if I was going to be good at, if I could really help somebody else in this way. And so for me, I had to overcome a lot of internal angst, recognizing that I was a beginner and it was something I was being called to, and that I was going to have to overcome or be willing to go through the process of starting somewhere and getting better at it, or else I'd never get to that other side of it. And I relied a lot on just reminding myself actually how I've learned other things and how I've gotten good at other things, and remembering the icky feeling. I love to play golf, and the icky feeling of being a beginner golfer, and what the hard work and effort has allowed me now to really enjoy the game of golf. So,
yeah, that is very powerful. It's something that isn't always remembered to do, is to just take a look at other areas of our experience where we started out ground zero and one foot in front of the other and discovered the different components that allowed us to gain competency and even expertise. So that's, I love that. That's great. I really appreciate you bringing that up as a powerful technique to make it through the journey. So, well, Ellen, you are an expert really at helping people achieve more success through improving their professional and personal leadership skills. But I'm just curious, how do you feel when it comes to the sales role of your business, you know, the client enrollment process? Do you tap on any of those leadership skills and transfer them into that conversation? Or can you just share a little bit about your experience in that type of a role within your business?
Yeah, sure. Yes. And it's a very necessary aspect of having your own coaching practice. And coaches like me and with me talk a lot about the business development process because it can be hard. I feel fortunate. I've always enjoyed business development, and in my leadership in corporate America, I come from marketing and sales as a background. So I at least have that, again, going back to skills that I know I do have, I have that to rely on.
And so
if we talk about leadership skills, in addition, communication is such an important leadership skill, and being able to communicate a clear message and to advocate and have a passion for an outcome. So that is what I bring to my business development. I really enjoy talking about coaching. I enjoy talking about the benefits and outcomes for an individual. It comes with, as you said, my zone of genius. It comes from a heartfelt passion to really help people improve. And so I bring all of that into my willingness to talk about coaching and develop my business.
Right. Yeah, communication is really important in terms of conveying not only what the outcomes are of working with you, but also in really tapping into what the prospective client wants to achieve. Well, are there any specific challenges within the sales role that you'd like some advice on? Or are you, you know, really dialed into the process of enrolling clients?
Well, I'll tell you what my challenges are, and perhaps I'd love any insight that you could offer me. It is a high touch and a long sales cycle. So that is what is the biggest challenge. I might begin talking with somebody a couple years ago or now, and it might not something might not come of it for a couple years. So it's really hard to get right in step with where a person might be wanting coaching.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you are having to almost stay with them through their getting ready process, right? So whether that they want to actually step forward and work with you to achieve a higher level of success. So is your question then around how to continue this high touch relationship while they're getting ready?
Sure. That would be really helpful.
Okay. When I was working within my corporate role as a sales producer, the same kind of thing, because I was working with project directors and they might not have a project currently going, but there would be one in another 9 months to a year. And so it was up to me to stay with them through that time frame, so that when the need does arise, they know who I am and they realize, hey, I would be good to reach out to and be that resource to them. So what I found to be very effective is to just naturally build the professional relationship to a point where, you know the names of their kids and who's graduating from what college. You know, you might think, gosh, Wendy, in a corporate world, this really isn't necessary. But people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And what I found to be very helpful is people that are very busy, you know, time is of a precious commodity, reaching out with always the idea of delivering value. So that, and whatever that might look like based on their role within, you know, their profession. So that is something that I help my coaching, you know, my clients with, is developing a brand for themselves where they know that every time I reach out to a prospective client, whether they're interested in working with me now or not, I'm always delivering value. And that's one, showing that I care about their success and that their challenges, what their challenges are, and that I'm compassionate. And secondly, to provide them with some sort of a resource, whether that's a bit of information, industry information, maybe somebody that could benefit them where they are right now, but always have that intention of bringing value and understanding that their time is a precious commodity. So, and in that regard, the monthly follow-ups or whatnot were more of a, hey, Ellen, I'm so glad to hear from you. You know, where it's catching up on, well, last we talked, this was going on. How is that now? Mm-hmm. What's the latest? You know, last we spoke, this was going on. Has that been improved? Did leadership do this? Did the CEO do this? And you just become an advocate, a personal and professional friend.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, hopefully that helps a little bit.
Yes, yes. I think so much of what you said about relationship is something that I value quite a bit and speak a lot about with my clients, and trust, and those two really come one from the other. So this is very, it lands with me really in line with my overall value. So it's a great, I'm glad that you pointed my attention towards valuing the same sorts of things, even in the sales process.
That's great. Yeah. Especially with the long-term sales cycle. It's really valuable to take the time and energy and focus to do that. So, and LinkedIn is a huge resource, right? You can find out what people's interests are, what their collegiate background or journey has been, and groups that they're interested in. And you can use those as springboards into just a meaningful conversation. Again, keeping in mind, these people are busy and it's not of their interest to want to talk on and on and on, but it's just simply a talking point, touching base. Last we spoke was this. Hey, I noticed that you're into this. Do you ever do, and quick, personal, and people really look forward to their next conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you.
Yeah, terrific. Well, we are speaking of challenges and just keeping up with how people are progressing in their professional role. We're right in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic, which my guess is has had some impacts on the work that you do. Can you share a little bit about how you're being in a different solution or providing different resources to people?
Yes, my gosh, Wendy, we could do a whole podcast on that, of course, this sort of context that we're in and the amount of uncertainty and change affects everybody profoundly, in particular with their stress levels Yeah, I guess it would stay right there, just their stress levels. There's so much we're being called to do. And so there's a couple ways just to talk a little bit briefly about it, since we won't do the whole podcast on it.
Yeah.
So important to, as you were just saying, actually, to check in with people. So instead, and that happened so much more naturally when we were together. And now we come together in front of a computer and it's kind of a scheduled block of time and we just kind of go into things. And people are coming into that meeting or conversation from homeschooling their children or worrying about an elderly parent or even perhaps feeling concerned about their own health. And so we actually need to allow all of that to be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's and not from an overwhelming taking over the conversation, but I strongly encourage, and I'm teaching how to, and I do, really meaningful check-ins with everybody. So even if we're on boxes on a screen, allowing everybody to check in and talk about how they're feeling and what part of them is feeling something and another part might be feeling something else, and just really allow them to arrive and be seen and then move forward with the tough work that everybody's addressing.
Right. No, that's great. It is so important to acknowledge that as people, we are dynamic and dealing with so many different areas of our lives all at once, right? Everything kind of bleeds together. So taking that time to really allow people to express their feelings and, you know, the impacts of this new world that we're living in, hopefully the transition is going to be occurring where we'll come back to some semblance of normal, but it never will regain that completely. So, well, I'm just curious, how do you work with people who want to really up-level their leadership skills so that they're living more fulfilling lives?
Yes. Well, the cycle of growth that I talk about, and it's on my website at www.robinsoncoaching.com, is by discovering or having somewhat of a wake-up call, similar to what you mentioned in terms of what was my inspiration. And it doesn't have to be a negative in terms of that sort of wake-up. It can be an inspiration around wanting to be more effective in the leadership, having a goal to be promoted and move up higher in an organization, or to have the courage to leave something and actually start your own business. So whatever that aha is, we start looking at what strengths, skills, competencies, capacities are necessary to succeed and sustain yourself through reaching, you know, that goal or starting that endeavor. And then we go through a process of learning, so self-discovery, mm-hmm. and then practicing. So we discover what's holding us back or where we need to grow. As a coach, I have lots of tools and techniques to help build that skillfulness or that capacity to sustain, you know, the effort that you're putting into what you're doing and to get you where you want to go. Then, and I do this in, 90-minute conversations every couple weeks, is the way it kind of works. And in between, the client is left with something to practice, very, very much akin to, again, a sports analogy, learning something new, or a music analogy, learning to play an instrument. You want to be a member of the orchestra. You know where you're at right now, and a coach can help identify what needs to change and grow, and you're assigned scales and notes to practice. And then there's a reflective process to really see how what you're practicing is impacting your life and the life of others and your goals. And then you get to come back and tell me all about it. And then we move on to more of that. Usually we work together for 6+ months. And there are other tools and assessments that I use. I use the Enneagram as a personality assessment. I work in the area of adult development, and I have an assessment to help people measure their level of maturity, whatever's called for, because it's all about the client. Mm-hmm. So that's where I start.
Well, that's fantastic. Sounds like you really provide, you know, very individualized and in-depth work for each person that is really hands-on. I love that. Now, how about your Person Puzzle company? How far along are you with that? And when will this powerful tool be available?
Yes. Well, thanks for asking, Wendy. And it's available right now.
Oh, is it? Oh, fantastic.
Used a little bit of this COVID time, quite frankly, to finish the website and all of our workflow processes so we can support coaches in adopting the tools. So anybody can go to www.personpuzzle.com and learn more about it. And so while it is available, I'm also really, again, in the learning phase of how it'll be adopted. So I really hope if there's coaches listening and they become interested that they reach out to me directly. I am looking for the high touch interaction with how they see how they can use Person Puzzle. And I want to share my lengthy experience with having done so myself.
Oh, that's fantastic. So we've got robinsoncoaching.com. So that's robinson coaching.com for your in-depth coaching work, obviously for leadership. And then personpuzzle.com. for this powerful tool that coaches can utilize for their practices and with their clients. So, well, that's fantastic. I love that. Well, Alan, you have shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom and such great information. But if I could tap on you one last time here during our interview, in looking at your own experience in building your coaching practice and now in launching this new business, what's some advice that you could share with a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or maybe they're doubting their ability to succeed?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Yes, you have to be willing to ask for help. Mm. And part of that help is you have to be willing to ask for feedback. We just can't see ourselves. In fact, we're designed as humans to protect ourselves sometimes from seeing all that we need to see about ourselves that could be holding us back from the success we so dearly want. And we also oftentimes feel a sign of weakness or fear or anxiety of some sort by reaching out and telling somebody or asking for help, which is saying, I don't have it all together, I don't know it all, or I'm not sure if I can do this. We can't build businesses by ourselves. And in that, I don't just mean hiring people, but by ourselves as thought leaders connect and we need support. Everybody does. So reach out for help, look for feedback, and then be honest with yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's powerful. I love that. You're meaning to say that we aren't born with all the tools in our tool belt to build huge businesses?
So I haven't seen that.
Sometimes I think we should, you know, be already well equipped, but it does take that humble side to realize that, nope, I need help in this certain area and I'm going to find somebody else who's great at that. So terrific. Well, I love that advice, especially the information about how we're designed to protect ourselves. I know how it feels sometimes that, you know, there's this huge magnetic pole that is preventing an action step. And it's like, what is that all about? And well, it's yourself protecting yourself, your ego stepping in and saying, no, you don't want to do that because you know, there might be change ahead. So it's powerful work that you obviously are very well versed in. So, well, Alan, it's been so great getting to hear about your journey from a corporate leader, a very successful corporate leader, to the now powerful work that you're doing as a leadership coach and being an entrepreneur in bringing forward this exciting new tool that's going to help other coaches provide personal, powerful, and sounds like permanent change for their clients. I've really enjoyed our conversation. It's been just so great to have you as our guest today.
Oh, Wendy, I have too. Thank you so much for your ideas and advice about my sales cycle. I'm going to make sure I put that into use right away. And it's been my pleasure to get a chance to talk about my passion for helping people improve their lives.
Ah, that's great. I love that. Well, thank you again. And for our listeners, you can reach out to Ellen through her two websites. So the leadership coaching is robinsoncoaching.com. And this powerful puzzle for coaches is personpuzzle.com. All right, fantastic. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So, are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right, well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right, well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Ellen Robinson. And as always, here's to your success.